You reach for the top olive oils and invest in the best pans. But in the kitchen, how well do you care for your greatest tool, your hands? When mine take a beating cooking and cleaning, which is often, I use Bag Balm to work its wonders on my poor, distressed skin. Created 125 years ago on a Vermont dairy farm, their soaps smell great and clean hands without stripping moisture, and their fast-absorbing lotion means I can quickly get back to cooking. Treat your hardworking hands to Bag Balm, every chef's best friend. Use code FOOD52 for 20% off your order on bagbalm.com. Good through 2024. You reach for the top olive oils and invest in the best pans. But in the kitchen, how well do you care for your greatest tool, your hands? When mine take a beating cooking and cleaning, which is often, I use Bag Balm to work its wonders on my poor, distressed skin. Created 125 years ago on a Vermont dairy farm, their soaps smell great and clean hands without stripping moisture, and their fast-absorbing lotion means I can quickly get back to cooking. Treat your hardworking hands to Bag Balm, every chef's best friend. Use code FOOD52 for 20% off your order on bagbalm.com. Good through 2024.
Hi, I'm Kristen McGlory, lifelong genius hunter. For a decade, I've been unearthing the recipes that have changed the way we cook. Now, on the Genius Recipe Tapes, we go behind the scenes with the geniuses themselves. In last week's episode, I had the fortune of speaking with Julie Sahni, the trailblazing cooking teacher and author behind some of our most iconic cookbooks on Indian cuisine. Our conversation was a deep dive into her life's work and how she came to be known as a legend in her field. Everything from her first careers as a dancer and city planner to just how many times she cooked and studied the process of making ghee to be able to explain it perfectly in her first book, Classic Indian Cooking. In our conversation, Julie shared so many of these stories with me that we couldn't possibly fit them all into a single episode. And there was one that we wanted to highlight in today's special bonus episode in particular, with Julie's blessing, because it was especially timely with Food 52's focus on the fast-changing world of cannabis this month in a series called The Green Scene, which has covered everything from the Black innovators in the space to how to thoughtfully cook an infused dinner party to cannabis weddings. Now, the fact that we are talking about all of this in such an open and respectful way would have been unheard of in the United States in 1985 when Julie wrote her second cookbook, Classic Indian Vegetarian and Grain Cooking. Or even in 1995 or 2005, or so I thought. Because, in addition to how ahead of her time Julie was in her cooking and teaching, she was also way ahead of today's increasingly mainstream embrace of cooking with cannabis in the U.S., as she wrote about centuries-old traditions and recipes from India. But her publisher was not. Here's Julie to tell us more about how she got around that and why, and it starts with the relationship between cannabis and chilies.
We grew up with very little chilies, and I particularly have a very low tolerance for chilies. When classic Indian cooking or even the vegetarian grain cooking was written, people thought that I lowered the heat level for American taste. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. It's me. My level is lower than most Americans. And that's how I am, because I react very heavily to heavy chili spices. Even one chili, I react to it. If you find, you know, your family does not want chilies or they're allergic to it, hold that chili. Those who don't want it won't take that. You're creating options. I always like that because I don't think chili is something which everybody should be asked to accept. People have different level of tolerance. There was a whole period when chilies were not even considered a spice. You know, they were considered as a weapon. Those who are not used to it, you know, it's very much like the going on a roller coaster when you come down and you feel you're going to die kind of thing, you know, it's that sensation. So then the endorphins are released in the brain and they say, no, you're not going to, we're going to take care of you. And the endorphin release is what you call the chili high. And that's what people like it. So next time when you have the same amount of chili, the brain says, I've had that experience before. What else is new? So you're going to have two more chilies after that. So get the same high. So that's how you build the chili tolerance and, you know, more and more and more. So those who have not had, don't suddenly say you have to have because this is an Indian recipe you got to. You know, chili is a introduced heat, which came from New World into India and Africa and Europe and China, whole world. It was not known outside of the New World. So heat of that level was not known. So we all learned about it and we found it exciting. So, you know, chili high, you know, the endorphin release is a way of high, something of the subject, I'm telling you now, which is, you know, there was a time when chilies were getting popular in the 60s. This is long before your time. In the 60s, when at that time, chilies were not allowed to be grown in the U.S., in this book, there are two recipes at the back of, in the dessert section. They actually are made with marijuana, but I could not get clearance before the publication because the legal department just won't allow me to publish. So we had to say green chili leaves. And this book, Classic Indian Vegetarian Green Cooking, was one of the best-selling books in those days with that community.
Mm.
How to make those two dishes with marijuana.
So it was just sort of implied, secretly known?
No. In the introduction, it says it's done with the intoxicant.
Oh.
People knew. But I say intoxicant or not, it will still be good. So those who found the intoxicant could make it with it. One is for a drink, a cool drink, which is called thandai. That's how it is served in that holy cities, with the intoxicant. Mm-hmm. And during festival, that's how you're supposed to drink it, with the intoxicant. And all those holy men drink it that way. And the other one is like a fudge. So both one will call for green chili leaves. So you have to go find that first, or grow it yourself. I should edit that, remove that intoxicant and all that, and just say marijuana.
Now you can, finally.
Yeah, finally, yeah. Today, people in certain sections of India, you know, where you go near Varanasi, where people pray, near the holy Ganges and all, they have these intoxicants that are mixed in with the drinks and mixed in with the sweets. And during certain festivals, like Diwali, Festival of Light, people eat these fudge. They look like brownies. And actually, one of the sweets that I have in the recipe is that brownie recipe. Mm-hmm. So that is a ritual, and that is supposed to be eaten by everybody with this intoxicant. It's perfectly okay. This is kind of built into Indian culture in a way. There's another one is called Shivaratri, where the people are up the whole night to worship Lord Shiva. And people do eat, and you see these grandmas kind of wobbling away on the sidewalk and coming back, you know. Gosh.
Thanks for listening. And my thanks again to Julie Sani for being so generous in sharing these stories and her time with us. To see Julie's cannabis recipes and stories for yourself, you will find them in Classic Indian Vegetarian and Grain Cooking under Sunflower Seed Fudge or The Road to Nirvana, a.k.a. Pong Burfi, and The Holy Punch, a.k.a. Thandai Varanasi. And as Julie wrote, they will be excellent even without the marijuana. In addition to this episode with Julie, our Food 52 family has more reporting and recipes on the world of cannabis this month in the green scene. You can catch up and follow along with what's to come at the link in our show notes. This week's bonus episode was put together by Amy Schuster, Harry Sultan, and Emily Hanhan. If you have a favorite Julie Sani recipe or are already a fan of the ones that she talked about today, I would love to hear about it at genius@food52.com or just tag me on Instagram @McGlorious. And if you like the Genius Recipe Tapes and the Food 52 Podcast Network, the very best thing that you can do to support us and help other people find the show is to take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating or review. Or send this episode to someone who will appreciate learning more about the early days of the cannabis movement and a cookbook that led the way. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
At Total Wine & More, find the best gifts for everyone on your list. whether it's a Cabernet for sis or a single barrel bourbon that dad will love. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Where can you find the best gifts at great low prices that everyone will love? At Total Wine & More, of course, with so many great bottles to choose from. Find something for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for your sis, sparkling wine for a coworker, or a single barrel bourbon for dad. And if you need any help, just ask one of their friendly guides for advice. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.